welcome to That Movie Review. I'm Jason.
And I'm Luke.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and it's time to board the invisible jet that is this podcast, because this is our review of Wonder Woman.
This is the fourth film in the DC Extended Universe, directed by Patty Jenkins, with a story by Alan Heinberg, Zack Snyder, and Jason Fuchs. I'm still not quite sure if we're pronouncing that correctly.
Push through the last.
We've seen Wonder Woman's live-action debut, but this is the first live-action theatrical feature to star and focus on the character.
Gal Gadot returns from her character's debut in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice as Diana Prince, or Wonder Woman, with Chris Pine, Robin Wright, Danny Houston, David Thewlis, Connie Nielsen, and Alina Anaya in supporting roles.
In Wonder Woman, American pilot Steve Trevor, played by Chris Pine, crashes offshore of the island of Themyscira and tells Diana and the Amazons about the massive conflict that is raging in the outside world, the Great War, World War One.
That's it.
Convinced that she can help stop the threat, Diana leaves her home for the first time. Fighting alongside men in a war to end all wars, she finally discovers her full powers and true destiny.
Yeah.
Yes. Love it.
It's epic.
Now, before we even get into any of it, I'm really happy this movie is simply called Wonder Woman.
There's no spin on the name. There's no weird tag, subtitle kind of thing.
I get with Man of Steel why they didn't go with Superman, but you know, the whole Batman v Superman not being enough. Dawn of Justice added to it and like an overly long title. With this, it is simply Wonder Woman.
Did you say Batman v Superman wasn't enough? I think it was enough.
Oh, no, that's what I mean.
It was enough.
Batman, I think I meant as if it wasn't enough.
As if it wasn't, yeah.
But I can't remember what I said.
Less is more, simple, yes. And...
So what I'm saying is, I like the title, Wonder Woman.
If there's ever a way to review a movie, let's start with the title and go from there. But we will actually talk about this film. We'll start with the characters. Let's talk about the star, Gal Gadot, our Wonder Woman.
I would love to, but could we just do one thing first?
No, you're ruining my flow.
I apologise, no, but yeah, there's something that I think we need to point out. New DC Films intro. We've never seen it before.
Is this actually... I feel like
it's
I've...
Nope, it's
have
the
I
first
seen it
time.
Online? Have I?
I don't know, Jason, but okay, I saw enough. It for the first time on the big screen. Because at first I'm seeing Green Lantern. I'm like, whoa, what is this?
And because it
new,
is a...
It's the new logo. It's very familiar, or it was to me, after watching the Justice League... cartoon. It's got that feel of the opening title sequence. I thought it was interesting, and we did get to see a lot of characters. Like, you can see John Constantine, Swamp Thing.
Yeah, like,
so there's some characters that have not really been discussed.
I'll tell you what I was thinking. I'm pretty sure maybe yourself as well. Just watching it as that started, the MCU like banner sort of thing. It is very familiar.
And if we're DC Comics are very familiar.
Yeah,
I mean, people are saying that Marvel needs to catch up. Nope, right the first time. DC needs to catch up with Marvel. But I do get it. Yeah, it's very similar. But I will say,
but it looked good.
The Marvel one is better because this was just CGI models.
Yeah, and this was more. Oh, here are our characters. You haven't even met half of them, and it was more comic form and, you know, like artwork and stuff like that. Whereas in the MCU one is. It goes into the movies that they produced already. Yeah, yeah. So it's sort of, those movies. Yeah, we get it.
I think more than anything...
It still looks good.
I was surprised. I didn't know they was going to do it. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's...
And I know we'll always give our rating at the end, but I will just say that I think if you're going to use the new logo for the first time, this is the movie you do it.
Okay, I think this is how we're gonna approach this review. I think we don't normally do it, like you just said.
I'm not tipping my hat at all.
No, I think if you're up for it, I think we should. I mean, it might be pretty obvious. We're not going to go a full-on rating, but let's just tell the people where we're sitting with this film.
I loved it.
That's a bit too full-on as a review. That's a bit of a rating. But yeah, so positive. We're positive.
No, we're just telling, and we'll break it down at the end.
But we'll break it down.
But how I feel about it is I loved it.
So just straight up, thumbs up, it's a good film.
And we'll get to it. Like, by no means do I think it's a perfect film, but my overall feeling of it, just like the character herself, I loved it.
We've had a couple hits, and when I say hits, they've hit a movie. positive feedback, negative, mixed reviews. It's been a little bit all over the place with some people. Some people love and rate BVS.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Suicide Squad,
a bit of a stinker. Some people love it still.
It won an Academy Award.
Yeah, and you can't keep holding on to that.
Well, it happened. There's, you know, yeah. I think this movie is what people have been wanting from DC films.
Just a good film where everyone can just go, we had a good time. And this is what we get. We've got something good here. So we're on the right track. So if anyone was thinking, oh, you know, this could be the end of DC, it's going to be okay.
And now let's do what you wanted to do originally. Let's start with the characters.
Let's talk about this movie. Yeah.
We'll work our way through it, alluding to what we think of the movie. And then at the end, we'll go bang.
But just know where we're coming from off the bat. So let's talk about Wonder Woman. Let's talk about Gal Gadot. Now, we've already met her in BVS.
And for most people, she was one of the best things about that movie.
A big standout sort of thing. Not many people really were negative towards her in terms of her performance and what we saw of the character in that film anyway. Here, we're pretty much getting more of that stuff. It's
a lot more. For me, she is a tour de force in this. She can do everything. The action, the drama, the comedy. She can do it all.
And she looks great on screen.
I mean, yeah. Elephant in the room.
It's Wonder Woman, so I think we're allowed to be like, she's sexy, she's powerful, she's a strong embodiment of a woman.
She is Wonder Woman.
She's wonderful, you know? I would say, like, her acting is fun, is great. Not really, I can't really fault it that much. I do think they could have given her a bit more to explore, you know, to basically give her something to show a lot more emotion. Not that she didn't have emotion,
I think they did allow her to do a lot. I mean, she starts off very naive in this film. Like, her goal is to stop Ares.
It's character growth, like it's there. It's
is responsible for evil in men. Take down Ares, man will become good. That's what she generally believes. And then there's a lot of personal growth in this. I thought she hit a lot of emotions personally.
Okay, I'll take it. So yeah, she's a big tick for us so far. Steve Trevor in, I guess, the supporting role in the...
Well, he's the love interest.
He's the love interest, yeah. I like... Let's just talk about their dynamic. It's sort of a flip on what, you know, we're generally used to. The love interest, the damsel in distress. But it's a male character. But at the same time, they haven't just made it so he needs to be rescued and he's a bit, you know, he's a bit pathetic.
I mean, he's very competent in his own right.
Yeah, and he does what he needs to do in the early stages anyway, when he, you know, wants to stand up for Diana, wants to protect her, look after her, all that kind of jazz. But then eventually he realizes he doesn't need to, so he steps back, but not in a way where he doesn't neglect her in a way, but yeah, he's still sort of there. And Chris Pine, I mean, we've seen him as Kirk in Star Trek.
If I'm honest, I saw him as Kirk in this, but it's not a complaint.
Oh,
he did another movie. I think it's called The Finest Hours. That was a period piece as well. I got a lot of Kirk from him, but I think that's who Steve Trevor is anyway.
He did a recent film. What is it? Hello, High Water.
Yes,
his acting in that was, if you think he's a good actor in, say, Star Trek, this was like, whoa, full on. And I think he's really underrated as an actor.
I noticed him was Smoking Aces. And then I was seeing him in other things and I completely forgot it was him. He's almost unrecognizable in that.
Yeah. No, but I think, yeah, this is a film where, like, he does get to sort of show off his acting chops a little bit more than, say, in Star Trek, where he's kind of playing a character that's already established. He makes it his own, but he pretty much is playing.
Talking characters, my favourite scene with, let's go, Diana Prince, because that's who she is. Because we go through, she's trying all the different dresses, which, you know, you get a lot of comedy from that. Etta Candy, played by Lucy, blanking on her name momentarily, from the UK Office.
We've got it written down somewhere, so I'll find it.
You find it, I'll carry on. So we get her as Etta Candy, so we get a lot of humour, but then you get to the scene in the...
Lucy Davis.
Okay, perfect. subtle. You get the scene in the alleyway, and it's almost as if it's lifted directly from Superman the movie, 1978. And instead of a mugger, you've got the soldiers, the enemy, and instead of Wonder Woman catching the bullet in her hand, like Superman does, the bullets ricochet off her bracelets, and Steve Trevor catches the bullet. And that's when he's putting his arm out, reaching in front of her, saying, stay back. And he's like, okay, you go.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was saying, you know, like...
He's not quite holding her handbag, but he's close.
Yeah, he's sort of like, I'm still here for you, because I feel like that's where I should be, but then...
And she takes down all but one guy, she saves one for him.
I mean, that's generous. That's a good relationship, right?
And the Diana Prince look, like with the glasses as well.
Oh, again, just cute, man. Oh,
perfect. And there's a mention of, oh, suddenly you put glasses on her and she's no longer the most beautiful woman in the world.
And it's like, well, okay. But that's definitely a callback to, you know, her secretary identity sort of, I think more so in the TV series.
Yeah, I'd say more. Yeah, that's where I think that's more lifted from, more so than the comics.
There's a lot of like sort of.
Although in the comics, like in over the years, I think she's been like a supermodel and various other.
They did a. She was a secret agent. A few weird things. I think after the, I guess like in the history of the comics, you had her during the war, and she was like that symbol and that figure that was sort of getting it done for the women and all that kind of thing. After the war, they did kind of, I guess, lack a place for her. So they feminized her. They made her get into like fashion and boys and love and all that rubbish.
They did.
But then they found her place again.
They course corrected.
But they fixed it.
A few decades later.
Yeah. But she has had a rough history in sort of publications and all that. But this movie doesn't seem to go in that direction. So that's good. We had a few other supporting cast members. Mainly like the what do we call them? Like the group of...
Well... I think they're like, well, they are the Howling Commandos. I know that's not who they are.
I was like, how long can we go without comparing this movie to Captain America?
And I thought all of them was great. You had Spud from Trainspotting.
We did, yeah.
And he was fantastic.
I didn't know he was in this film. You know, this just shows how bad I am at looking things up, but I didn't know he was coming. And
you know, he
rocked up and I was pleased. His whole thing
is he's a sharpshooter. He's not good in a hand-to-hand fight, or even, you know, maybe he's not that great with a gun close up, but he's a great marksman. But the whole thing with him, he's going through PTSD, and Wonder Woman recognises, like, what use is he in a war when he can't even fire? And then, again, her going through the growth, and then she recognises something else in him. And it's the first time after saving the people in the town, which I know we'll get to, he's singing for the first time. And then afterwards he's like, what good am I? And then just Wonder Woman smiles and says, you can sing for us, Charlie. That was just another example of her being Wonder Woman, but not necessarily involved in an action scene.
Yeah, nothing to do with fighting and using your fists and being powerful and strong, but being something else. Ah, oh, Smithy, quite touching. But that, of course, was Ewan Bremner. You said was Spud, well, not Spud, but Charlie in this film. He was a big standout for me.
And you got Eugene Braverock as Chief. I thought he was fantastic. His whole thing is that he didn't have a stake in the war. He will do, within reason, do it for the right price. But again, with the villagers, and I'm trying not to stay on that scene because I want to talk about it for a long time. But when they rescue the villagers... And people are trying to offer him money, and then Wonder Woman looks over and he's turning down the payment.
Yeah.
Another great moment.
Yeah, like, all these characters have a moment to shine, mainly in that scene, but even going forward, there's also Samir, played by, now I'm going to get this wrong, of course I will, Saad Tegmawi.
That's and my attempt. He was great as well.
Yeah. It's funny, we've had this image of this group, this photo, yet, I know all of these actors. And I just didn't recognise him in that photo.
The photo, the beginning of the movie. Wayne Enterprises, her being given the photo, which...
It's a plot device!
It sets the framework of the movie, and then she's remembering the photo, and you're getting a flashback, and that's where the origin is.
Open and closed book, so it's sort of like, oh, this film is still set after, you know, we meet her in BVS. But then, of course, the whole thing is a flashback. But then we mentioned that. Well, that's good. Yeah, we've had this photo and these characters in there, and it's like... You know, if you had told me, oh, we're going to really like these characters that are in this film, I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever. But no, they all shine really well.
All of them. There's not a weak one among them.
I mean, it is a small group, so it's not like there's too much going on. But no, they each have a moment. We'll do some villains. Oh no,
let's do the villains.
Let's do villains. Yeah, all right.
Now, watching this, I had a feeling who turned out to be Ares was actually Ares.
I did the same thing. But then I was like, I was thinking when he...
David Thewlis. Thewlis? Is that you pronounce his name?
I say Thewlis, but...
British guy. Yeah. Mustache.
I figured you'd have a better chance at this.
Okay.
British. But yeah, there's a scene in the bar where he, you know, he approaches him and he's like, I'll help you on your mission, you know? And I was like, I bet something's dodgy with him. But then I was like, but he's just so freaking nice.
Before the movie happened, everybody was thinking Danny Houston. And then it turns out that he's playing an actual real life figure. Like his villain was a real soldier.
Erich Ludendorff.
That's him. And he's assisted by Dr. Poison, which is an awesome supervillain name. And she is lifted from the comics.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. With Dr. Poison, it's sort of like, you see this movie and it's like, everything is so real. And then you've got Wonder Woman. It's like, okay, well, that's the fantastical element of it. And then it's like, then you have Dr. Poison. But it's Dr. Poison, this is a comic book movie.
It's
like,
it really a comic book name. And I really liked the faceplate that she was wearing. And then later on, you see what's hidden underneath. But for the most part, I think, you know, Danny Houston is inhaling that gas, which was giving him strength, which he needs later on in the movie. But for the most part, they were just bad people.
Yeah.
But the scene where they're perfecting...
Or were they?
Where they're perfecting that poison and they're taking out everybody in that room and on the other side of the door, and they make reference to the fact that they're just laughing like mustache twirling villains.
Because there's a gas mask.
And he's like, but there's a gas mask. It won't work. And they're like, I know. And then start chuckling. That took me out of it. It's like, okay, this is a different movie right now. They're doing something different. It was almost Batman 66 level of villainy.
It was a little campy, yeah. It was, yeah, they were evil villains. They were a plotting mustache twirling villains.
And as we say, Ares, we do find out that he's the ally that's been helping them throughout the movie. He's always been a presence. But I've got to be honest, because you can imagine that Wonder Woman, although she's got all these powers, she sounds pretty crazy when she's talking about it's all Ares, because it doesn't sound very believable. We know in the real world, the war happened. It was a real thing.
Yeah.
So I was starting to think maybe, although she is still Wonder Woman, she's got the powers, maybe we're not going to see Ares.
Yeah, it was.
I was thinking that for a time.
Because we were like, well, this stuff, of course, in this movie universe could exist. Should exist, I guess. Like, it's all there. Why not? But then, of course...
Later on, we do see Ares.
We do, you know.
Yeah, we do. And it's confirmed. And we'll get to it. But okay, so I think we've covered the villains. So we've got a movie that's broken down into four parts.
Pretty much, yeah. So we got the time that's spent on... Now, you pronounce it right, so I'm just going to let you do it.
Themyscira.
I was going to be like, Themyscira.
Themyscira, I loved... I think we spent the right amount of time there, but all of it, I just soaked it in, and I love being there so much.
Yeah. I think if it was... I'll tell you, like, if we had seen a Wonder Woman film before where we had got her origin, or if I was more familiar with her origin, and then we were watching this, I probably would have gotten a bit bored of those scenes. But because this is fresh, before I'm seeing it for the first time, it's all new. I like the amount of time that we spent there. There was a point where I was like, oh, you know, am I feeling right about this film? Is this going in the right direction? And then they got to London, which we'll get to, and that's where things flipped for me.
But let's stay here a little longer. We've got Connie Nielsen as Wonder Woman's mother, and I thought she was fantastic. Who else? We've got Robin Wright. Wow, she bulked up for this role.
Yeah.
And she looked great. She looked like an Amazon. And I like that they cast athletes as the Amazons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they
didn't
just go and cast supermodels. You know, you had strong, muscular women riding horses on the beach. The bad guys are coming to shore. I thought it was fantastic. You're praising Gal Gadot, and rightly so. But the young girl that we first get to see is young Diana, and the other actress as well, perfect.
Yeah, both, like, plays it cute as, like, a young child girl would, and then, but also just, like, you know, her curiosity, her want to help and, you know, like, train and stuff. Like, I bought it.
I'm a parent. I've got a daughter.
Oh, you love it. Yeah, you get
it. The scene where young Diana is on the clifftop and she's looking over at the beach and she's copying the fight choreography or the fight. The cutest thing. I thought that was brilliant.
But yeah, Robin Wright does, I mean, yeah, I think the point is for her to shine in this general Antiope, I think is the name of a character. Both plays Diana's aunt and her mentor, the one who trains her. Yeah, man, just badass. They're all badass,
and
these
she dies
chicks
protecting her. And then the headpiece that Wonder Woman wears as part of a full costume belonged to her aunt. I love that.
It's like origin. Let's speak this whole time that we spent here, we do get an origin. I like how there were different aspects of the origins that we know of Wonder Woman.
Well, we're told that she was sculpted from clay and given life by Zeus, which was the original origin of the character. But I like in this, it's a story that she's told, which she pretty much buys longer than she should because she's an adult. Then we find out as the movie progresses.
It was probably more of a cover, you know, it was just a bit of a little white lie that her mother told her.
She's the daughter of Zeus, which makes her the sister of Ares. Which somebody in my audience missed that. And well, it had to be explained to her. Why is she calling him brother? Honestly, I heard that over my shoulder. But I like that she... Because you've got a character in the DCEU, Superman, who is like a god. He's from an alien world.
But he's not a god. He's an alien, isn't he?
But
he's
Wonder
just
Woman
guy.
Is a legit god. Brilliant. I really like the portrayal. I did think for a time, once it got revealed that Ares is really out there... In the back of my mind, I was thinking, because what they're doing with these DC films, making them darker, grittier, are they going to have her be the daughter of Ares? I didn't want her to be, but I thought potentially...
The daughter of Zeus.
She is the daughter of Zeus, but I thought they were going to make her the daughter of Ares.
Oh.
But I like that the sword isn't the god killer. She is. I thought that was a nice
touch. Yeah, a nice twist, because we have this whole weapon this whole time. But yeah, there's so many just elements, just like that with the clay, like it's just a... Like a nod to it almost, like, and they found a way to put it in there without making it her actual origins. And I think what they did do here to make this film fit in to the film they've already got, the groundedness of it, but still fantastical, they went the right direction.
And we've touched on London. I've got a feeling that you wanted to speak to it some more.
Before we get to it, but London is a basically a fish out of water scene or sequence, I guess, of the film. But Chris Pine, Steve Trevor arriving on Themyscira, that's a fish out of water story for him, almost.
Yeah,
like, true. And then it basically flips when Diana gets to... Except Diana in London is a little bit more entertaining and fun, I think.
I'd agree with that. Ice Cream, which apparently is lifted directly from the Geoff Johns Justice League one.
I heard something about that being like, a few panels and nice... Again, nice little nod to something there. Yeah, you've already mentioned like the dodging the bullets and the, you know, the... trying on the dresses and
the scene
glasses.
In the war room when you've got all the generals and he's going, okay, so we're going to lose men on our side, they're going to lose men on their side. That's just how it is. And then Wonder Woman, who's, you know, she's made her way in there, she's like, why does it have to be? But again, speaking to her being naive, but at the same time,
she makes valid points, isn't it?
Yeah, like... she does. And she is Wonder Woman. Honestly, the way Wonder Woman is portrayed in this, it's what I wanted Man of Steel to be. For him to be this like all good character,
to have a different view and concept of, you know, the world and question why are we doing it this way, you know.
But I think starting this in what you'd call like the golden age, it allowed them to have her just be just all good essentially. I mean, she does get conflict and she does find that there's not necessarily evil within her, but there's darkness, and if she used it, she could, you know, join Ares, and that's what he wants.
The dark side.
We'll be speaking, you know, about how great Chris Pine is, and he actually doesn't survive this film, which I was surprised. I thought he was going to survive, she was going to survive, obviously, but the rest of their squad wouldn't. That's how I thought it was going to go. And I like that his sacrifice actually meant something, and he makes a point of saying to her that I can save today, but you can save tomorrow. I thought that was just brilliant. And then for her to have something so hurtful happen, like the man that she... And that's the thing as well, a short period of time, but I completely bought their love for each other. So she's got this guy, she just met him, they're in love, and then he dies in front of her. And her takeaway from that is something positive, like she doesn't turn to the dark side. I know, wrong franchise. But she uses that to do something good, and she finds strength in it.
Yeah, she doesn't just rage out. Well, she does rage out, but she doesn't rage out so much that, she doesn't just give in and say, well, that's it.
This portrayal of Wonder Woman is just perfect for me.
That's... Something I can't fault in this film is what we see of Wonder Woman, what we get of her, and the characterization that we get going forward.
I know you're at London, so I don't want to be too hasty about pushing us past it. You done London?
I think I did London.
Okay, so you could refer to this next part as the front, or more accurately, I think, and if you're going to go by the soundtrack, which I've listened to over and over, let's talk No Man's Land.
Oh, because
for me, that is where the film really becomes the Wonder Woman film. On the battlefield,
yes.
You get to see her in the full costume for the first time. Now, we're almost looking through a lens similar, like a filter we get in the other DC films. Even though we're on the battlefield, as soon as she reveals her costume, you see the red, you see the blue. She drops the black cloak and she goes into battle. And I love that scene so much. In fact, that whole sequence.
I'm going to dissect it a little bit and get all... We've heard her iconic theme, you know, the da-da-da-da-da thing. We love it. It's great. I was waiting for the moment where they play it with it. And I figured it would be a moment where she's like Wonder Woman for the first time. You know, like she's got her outfit. She's doing it. When she got up above the trench, I was like, oh, here we go. And they didn't play it. I was waiting for it.
Which was the right choice.
I realized it was the right choice. When she's like pushing the bullets back with their shield, she's fighting them all off. The music that's playing is more of a... Like a struggle, but also a triumphant.
Yep,
it's building to it.
Yep.
And I think that was more powerful. And then it wasn't until she just starts kicking ass. And she's kicking and punching. Yeah. And then they play it.
I wasn't too sure they were going to be honest. I wanted them to, and they used it in the trailer. But I wasn't sure if that was just reserved for Justice League or, you know.
True.
But they used it. And I like that I think Rupert Gregson Williams. Hopefully I'm getting that right. But I loved his score. I thought what he did was brilliant.
And to incorporate that,
I thought it worked so well.
I think I think people love it. It's become iconic. And I did hear subtle, like the beats were throughout the rest of the score, just like, boom, 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 boom. Like, it was sort of there, but not quite exactly the tearing up that we got. I really like it. It's a good tune.
But No Man's Land. Wow. This whole part of the movie is just utter perfection.
So this includes the trenches, the village, them wandering around.
So keep in mind, they're actually...
The ball.
They're bypassing the village. And then it's revealed that, you know, the townsfolk are under duress, the soldiers are there, the good guys can't get across. And the instruction to Wonder Woman is we need to keep moving because we need to get the message to the good guys. We can't stop. And then that's when she throws off a black cloak. She's like, no, and she goes up there. But what I love about it, it's not just her single-handedly saving the day. By her going up there, drawing fire, acting as a diversion, it inspires the other soldiers
and
around
her. And they trust
her. Yeah, and they follow her into battle. So I thought it was just brilliant. And then you get in the scenes where she's kicking, like she's inside that building, she kicks a soldier out the window and she flies out after him. That whole sequence, I'd gladly just go back to the movies and just watch that over and over.
Oh, just watch the whole thing. I mean, you might as well be there. You paid for a ticket.
I mean, I probably would stay and watch all of it. But I'm just saying, that's how much, if that was the movie, 5 out of 5.
Wow.
But of course, there's other parts of the movie, which we've not got to yet, which may bring it down from a 5. But No Man's Land is just perfection.
There are a lot of good sequences in there. How did you feel about the infiltration of the ball and the I'm gonna knock this woman out and have her steal her clothes? That chick's naked somewhere. I'm just saying.
It's fine. I wonder if this the actress that played the chick beforehand. She's how she looked and how Gal Gadot, which is hard to compete.
Mm.
But it almost looks like a different dress she's wearing.
It's is it? It's blue.
And then she's got the sword down the back.
And I'm just
which is pretty cool.
How has no one seen that sword? Where is that sword going?
It's pretty obvious.
Where is that sword going?
Down the back of her bottom.
Back of her bottom. And the back of her bottom. Okay, so yeah, that's pretty good. We get eventually to, where are they? An airfield.
And yeah, we get the Battle of Ares and it goes all Magneto and he's pulling up all the metal and he's making armor. And I really do like that he actually looks like Ares does in the comics.
I mean, that's cool. We do get, it is very CGI. It's very overly... Much like, compare it to the Doomsday scene in Batman v Superman.
But I think the biggest distinction between Doomsday and Ares is that Wonder Woman has the emotional connection to her brother, to Ares.
Like there's a...
Yeah, there's it's more than just rubble and whatever else being thrown around.
Yeah, the fight makes sense that it's there, so I wouldn't take it away from the film. And I did enjoy it. Most of the action sequences are pretty good. But we get Wonder Woman taking on first Ludendorff, assuming that she thinks that he's Ares. She kills him. The war doesn't end. It's still going.
What we've not mentioned in this film, no blood. It's a war movie with no blood. And the reason why I'm bringing it up now is because I keep forgetting his name. Danny Houston's character.
Oh, Ludendorff.
Ludendorff. When he's stabbed and you see the sword go through the wood and then you're looking up and the sword's got no blood, no nothing.
I would definitely be drifting through, wouldn't I?
Yeah, it's very... That distracted me.
Ah, because of lack of realism.
But if I'm honest, I would take this move with no blood if it's able to reach a wider audience. I don't necessarily need blood, but that did distract me in that moment.
Let's just think about it now. An uncut or extended version on Blu-ray.
Doesn't exist.
There's no plans for it?
Doesn't exist.
Are you sure?
The director, Patty Jenkins, has come out and said there's not even a deleted scene. Everything is in the movie.
How's that for craft, eh? That's good.
She's so efficient.
She's so efficient. Women, eh?
And I'm pretty sure...
To the point...
It's her second movie. 2003, she did Monster.
Yep.
And since then, she's been working in TV, Game of Thrones, other high-profile shows.
Now that's Monster with like Charlize Theron.
Yeah, Monster's way back when.
That's a good film.
So this is a follow-up. Not bad.
Not bad at all. So with the battle with Ares, my thoughts are going into it, I kind of expected, you know, like a big epic showdown. I was getting, I'm not sure how familiar you are with like most animes and things like that. The scene did play out very anime-like. You know, you have these two powerful beings. They're throwing beams of energy at each other. They're screaming. Usually their moment of triumph comes from like pain or a loss, and rage is what... It's a very like traditional anime trope. It pretty much played out like that.
I can see that, but I think the scene worked because again, you got...
It
does look like that, I agree. But the scene...
Not necessarily a bad thing. Not a bad
for
thing.
Me, because if you think... I've got to be honest... I was loving all of it, and then I thought the final fight was good. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was fantastic. I knew that,
but it was a step down in.
But I knew it had to happen. But if you just think though, everybody that Wonder Woman had been fighting up until that point
was a person.
It was weapons, humans.
Yeah.
So she was constantly punching down, and she'd have to punch up eventually. So instead of Doomsday, we get Ares. So it works. But it did. I mentioned Magneto earlier. I did get that feel because he's
like,
pulling metal around him and making like
just this
armor.
Big, powerful being.
So it works, I think.
But it also worked as a plot device to have her unleash this power. You know, like she does go rage mode. Like she screams and a power comes out of her. That's, you know, it's energy.
I mean, we already know that this movie is already breaking box office records. Like it's doing very, very well. But I just think, without knowing how well it was going to do, and for the audience going to this, I do think you had to end it the way you did, with the big superhero battle.
Well, let's talk the other action sequences and special effects. Hands down, most of the choreography and, like, you know, there were these slow motion shots where, you know, she'll be doing a really epic strong kick or a punch. I think they were cool.
And similar,
especially with
to
the music tracking over it.
Yeah, but
it was epic.
It was similar to Batman in Batman v Superman. When he was doing that takedown scene, saving Martha.
Like, they were standout scenes. They were all really big visual things that just looked really cool on screen.
But I liked that we were staying, like, the action was staying on the character, but it was moving around, but you wasn't too close that you didn't see what was happening. It was almost like the camera was reacting to the action, like moving and swinging out of the way. It was very fluid.
Like dodging, like, oh, she's kicking, or get back, just move, yeah.
If you think back to the Chris Nolan movies with Christian Bale, those fight scenes were
like physical,
so far removed from what we see in this movie, and this I think is where it needs to be, so you can actually see what is happening,
but at the same time, like, still fun, over the top and crazy, but not ridiculous, and not so messy that we don't know where we are and what we're looking at. You know, it's not, I know it's with robots, Transformers, but half the time you don't know what's happening.
You
could replay, you can be like, well, she punched that guy and then she went under and kicked that guy in the groin and then, you know, elbowed him. And like, you can track what she's doing and where she's going. Shootout, I guess, on Themyscira at the start of the film, where, you know, the Amazons are going nuts and shooting their arrows. And when
they're gunned down, generally felt for them.
Oh, women getting shot. Not good. But, another great standout action scene. Pretty much the fighting and anything physical, even though the special effects were in there, blended really well. You can tell, like, they've blended both actual actors doing things and they've touched it up with CGI. They've made things move and do that, you know, and that's how it's done.
And Connie Nielsen leaping through the air, firing the three arrows, it looks like an effect, but it's brilliant. That is such a good scene.
I'm going to be a little bit negative on some special effects, but... and it's not to do with Ares. The backdrops. A lot of the backdrops looked... And I don't know if it was just the cinema I was in. The backdrops looked green screen. Like, they were on a beach, but then it was like the... It did make it look like they were on a set.
Okay, I didn't pick up on that personally.
But I noticed, at first I thought it was just like, say, the Themyscira scene on the beach. But then it looked like they continued to do it. When she's jumping over the trench, as cool and amazing as that scene was, it did kind of go into like, not to knock him, but like the Zack Snyder sort of stylistic thing where like things in the background aren't there. It's all kind of hazy and unrealistic. But just a minor knock on the effects. Otherwise, pretty good.
Maybe I'll catch it the second time. I missed that. But I mean, we know that it is going to be green screen.
Of course,
so
yeah.
You know, it's not like you've seen something that isn't
but
there.
But it just seemed like there was a little bit of refining that needed to be done. But otherwise, not too bad. Not too bad. So I'm not being too harsh. I'm being nice. Okay, is there anything else you want to sort of discuss before we wrap this up a bit? Any standout things or...
I think we've covered the majority. The book end, like we've already mentioned, this in a modern DC extended universe world.
Yeah.
So it definitely feels part of that. I do think the movie benefits from taking place before everything else that we've seen.
Yeah. I like how, you know, we're not waiting for a Superman cameo or a Batman cameo, even though we do see Bruce Wayne's name or Wayne or whatever. But yeah, there's no Aquaman plugged in there. There's no Flash.
And I'm glad they didn't.
It can focus on this character. We get to know her and they can make a solid, coherent film that isn't just universe building. They've done it and I applaud them for it.
And you can tell as well that this movie was made by a filmmaker, not just a director hired
to
make
say,
a movie.
This film was made by a woman. It's like, can you?
No, made by a filmmaker.
No, it is.
Like,
it is.
It doesn't. It's not a Zack Snyder film.
It's a movie
first.
It's not
a David Ayer film.
Yeah, it's not. It's not an art piece or a, you know, a music video. It is a movie. It's a coherent story, and I praise it for that.
And it's been confirmed that Patty Jenkins is coming back from the sequel, and that has me very excited.
Cool. All right. So, how can we do our rating before we, finishes up?
Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, to a lesser extent, or more so, I guess, Suicide Squad. DCEU hasn't been off to the best start.
Yep.
You mentioned before, there's pros and cons.
Different opinions as well. Not everyone's, you know, on the same page. But
is fine. I still don't like the codex. I don't feel as though he needs something to make him more than Superman. Batman v Superman is a lot to enjoy, and a lot of that is down to Wonder Woman. And in this film, she is just, again, that using the word perfection, she really is. This movie is one of the best comic movies I've seen in the longest time, whether it's Marvel, DC. The plot never leaves you bored. The costumes are realistic and the fight choreography is some of the best I've seen for a while. A lot of praise for this movie. I'm going to give it... I can't quite go to a 5 because of the whole Ares Magneto, but I would give this a solid 4 out of 5.
Okay, right. I've heard... You know, I can't shy away from some reviews and stuff, especially after I'd watched it. I was like, oh, give me some reviews, see what people are thinking. People are calling this like one of the best comic book movies in the past 10 years or so. I disagree. It's a good film, but if you really look at the other ones that have come, you've got Winter Soldier, you've got The Dark Knight. There are real solid films. Guardians of the Galaxy, even the first Avengers film. You know, just like standout, big, great films. Wonder Woman to me is a well-crafted and coherent film. It is both a breath of relief and a good sign for the DCEU going forward. It corrects what most viewers saw as the faults of the previous films. Wonder Woman is without a doubt a good movie. It's fun, colourful, and a good time. Gal Gadot is great. The action is awesome. And this movie reflects the formula of a good, don't want to say it, but a good MCU movie. So both the good and the bad aspects. And, you know, we've got a villain that's, you know, a bit underdeveloped, but, you know, necessary. Definitely room for growth, I reckon, but a satisfactory production overall. So definitely liked it. Definitely want to praise it. Like you said, it's not perfect, but pretty good. I'm going to do a little bit lower, 3.5 for me out of 5. Oh, you made a face.
I did make a face. I'm holding it in.
But yeah, I figured we got to be real. We got to be harsh on these films.
And I think a 4 and a 3.5, I think that's lower than most ratings that I've heard so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think you gotta be honest. Like, it's a really good film, but you know, it's not perfect, and there's definitely more that can come for it. So Wonder Woman 2, that could be a 5.
And you know, again, up until, you know, the end of No Man's Land, it was tracking for a 5 for me. It was the finale that brought it down a step. But again,
to me, getting to London was like, wow, this is a 5. We're getting there. And then, like you said, No Man's Land, and then it did drop down again, so yeah, otherwise.
I'd say No Man's Land, one of my favourite sequences, I know it goes on for a long time, let's call it a sequence, from any DC or Marvel movie, where we're talking Marvel, Fox, Sony, MCU.
It's just that central part.
Yeah.
Standout scene. We always finish out with a bit of trivia. Do you have some? I do have some.
I do, but it's not a lot. Mine's like, it was plan B, just in case you forgot.
Okay, cool. Do you want to give yours anyway?
Not less a thing you do.
Do you want to give yours anyway?
Okay. Wonder Woman is the first female dominant superhero film in 12 years since Elektra.
Elektra. Did Catwoman come out before that, after that? Or do we just not count that?
Elektra was 2005.
I think Catwoman was right before,
But if anything, she's a supervillain, so let's go with Elektra.
Let's go with Elektra.
Elektra is the right answer.
It's been a bit of a dry spell. With the ladies, I'm just saying. That was your trivia?
Yeah,
fair enough.
Hey, whoa, this is Plan B trivia. You've got the actual trivia. Okay.
Nothing to do with the movies.
Oh, great.
That was it. It's more just Wonder Woman specific. Now, we haven't even mentioned this guy, William Moulton Marston. He created Wonder Woman. That's not the trivia. But did you know he invented the lie detector?
I did.
So, lasso of truth, sort of a...
And didn't he have, like, two wives?
I'm not sure about the two wives things, but I do have something to do. This is about...
Hopefully I'm not just making things up.
Yeah, inspired by one of his wives is the iconic...
Oh, yeah, one of his wives. So he does
have
more than one wife.
Yeah, he does have one wife. Yeah, okay. Wonder Woman's iconic bracelets. So Marston was only legally married to one woman. I did actually have all this written down. Cool. But he also had two children with Olive Byrne, who lived with his mum until his death. Anyway... after Olive married Marston, she wore a bracelet on each wrist to symbolize their relationship.
I like it.
Yeah, but they weren't bulletproof. So.
Oh, okay.
Not as fun.
Cool trivia.
A bit of history there. But I guess that's it for our review of Wonder Woman. As always, please go subscribe and download this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud, and please leave us a review. It helps listeners just like you find the podcast.
We are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Films You Podcast. We also have our website, www.thatfilmsyoupodcast.weebly.com.
You've been listening to Jason and Luke, the guys from That Films You. See you soon.
Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
Wonder Woman! Sorry.